Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Next man up, 102.5, the game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Hope everybody had a great weekend. It is a Reaction Monday, brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Parker Kelly, what's going on?
Jake, it's a good morning. I will say, I wanted to come in here because I have a primary complaint, but at the same time, not really a complaint. So there's this list. You've probably seen it on Twitter that's going around ranking the top 10 worst cities to live in.
Oh, I did see this.
States.
And Tennessee was number one.
And Tennessee was number one. And at first I thought to myself, man, I don't know who put out this list, but they're probably on drugs. And then I started to think about it. I'm like, wait, the more people that see this, the less people that'll move here, and that's probably a win.
I saw Easton Freeze said that same thing on Twitter yesterday. He quote tweeted that and said, yes, 100%, this is not a good place to live. Stop coming here.
And it's full. The city is full.
I agree. The list is false. Tennessee's a great place to live. Not just Nashville, all over Tennessee. It's great.
I mean, everybody is moving here.
But we're full.
I don't know who made the list, but they probably have a bone to pick with the state.
Yeah, I don't know. Let me see the list. Because
Texas was
number two.
Isn't Texas one of the cheaper places to live in the United States?
Yeah, comparatively. So here was the list from CNBC. Tennessee, Texas, Indiana, Louisiana, Georgia, Utah, Missouri, Alabama, Oklahoma, Arkansas.
A lot of southern states. Indiana, absolutely one of the worst.
Honestly, but I have no problem with any of those states, really. Like,
Iowa did not make the list.
Iowa didn't make the list. You know, would I want to live in Oklahoma?
Maybe Idaho not. Didn't make the
like
list.
Like Arkansas, Missouri, maybe not. But like, I have no problem with any of those states.
Wyoming's not on there?
Right. A lot of these states actually are the states that I think people are moving to the most. Tennessee, Texas, Utah's big right now with like Salt Lake City. So yeah, I don't know. Maybe this is just a ploy from all of these states to try and get people to stop moving here. Say, hey, you can come visit.
If that's the purpose, then that's fine.
Yeah, it's great. Fine with me.
Keep people out. You can come visit, but don't move here.
Yeah.
We're full.
And you're right. Like Craig says, too, all they did was take the southern states and put them in the top 10. Yeah, Utah is the only one on there that isn't like an SEC state. So take that for what you will. But yeah, seeing Tennessee as number one, that shocked me, too. It was a fun weekend. Didn't have much going on. Watched a lot of the soccer. I wanted to start there. We got the World Cup semifinals set. It will be France and Spain on Tuesday. Wednesday will be England and Argentina. And I was excited for Saturday's games. And England-Norway did live up to the hype in terms of the drama. Went to extra time. Jude Bellingham. Man, he has been awesome in these last two games. Two goals against Mexico, two goals against Norway. But Erling Haaland just went out sad. I mean, what wasn't impactful in the game and then gets benched for the last 15 minutes when you're down by one in extra time. They sit him on the bench and Norway ends up losing. Disappointing for the team that I think so many Americans had rallied around after the U.S. lost last Monday.
Yeah, I think they were the team a lot of us were rooting for since the U.S. wasn't in it. And it was just sad to see Erling Haaland go out the way that he did. But he became a fan favorite. He's all over my For You page. I'm sure he's all over a lot of people's For You pages. But Jude Bellingham, he's probably the only player I like on this English team. And he has been – what he's doing at such a young age, because he's, 23 years old?
Yeah, he's young.
He's young. But what he's been doing in the World Cup is phenomenal. Phenomenal.
He is 23. Yeah.
Did he have two goals versus Mexico?
Versus Mexico, he did.
In Mexico City.
Yeah. So he scored two against Mexico and then scored both goals for England on Saturday against Norway. And England moves on. They are in the World Cup semis, I believe I saw for only the fourth time ever. And they'll face Lionel Messi and Argentina on Wednesday for a spot in the World Cup final. You know who else went out sad on Saturday? Conor McGregor. I mean, so I will say, I did not stay up for it, and I'm very glad I didn't. I was tired on Saturday. I was like, you know what? I'm not. It was pay-per-view, right? Or was it on Paramount?
I think it was on Paramount Plus.
Oh, it was on Paramount.
Which is a good thing, because if you had to pay for that,
I could have watched it then, because I think I have Paramount Plus, but I was tired. I was like, I don't really care. These guys are older. McGregor hasn't fought in 5 years, and I'm very glad I did, because I did not miss much. I rewatched the whole minute and 7 seconds of that fight. And I don't know, that people are accusing McGregor of some shady stuff. I'm not going to go that far, because they have released videos of him warming up and it looked like he was fine. I think it was the first kick where he blew out his knee, which it's disappointing. I don't know if there's any nefarious activities going on in the background. Not that I would completely put it past the UFC, but was this unexpected that Conor McGregor was going to be a shell of his former self? 5 years removed from fighting. This has been years and years and years of him teasing that he's coming back and then backing out and teasing that he's coming back. And he did the Ultimate Fighter series with Michael Chandler, and they were getting after it and they were going to fight at the end of it. And then he backed out of that one. I expected nothing more from Conor McGregor than I expected him to get knocked out, but you know, getting injured a minute in, that didn't completely shock me either.
Well, when you come out of the gates kicking the way that you did, it's kind of not a surprise that he blew out his knee. I'm like you, I didn't watch a second of it, but luckily, I mean, somebody posted the minute or however long clip.
Right.
I saw the whole thing.
You can
I saw everything
I
needed to see. So it would have sucked if this thing was on pay-per-view and people pay for that. And there were people that paid a lot of money to be there.
Yeah. Yeah,
so I feel bad for them.
I mean, it seemed to be a who's who. Of course, the Bussin' with the Boys guys were there. I saw the Taylor Lewan Marcus Mariota reunion.
That was a good thing to see on the timeline.
That was kind of cool. Marcus has some gray in his beard.
He does. He does. Which he got a little gray in his hair too.
Yeah, it's not completely new, but yeah, I wasn't completely shocked. It's like he's 5 years removed from a fight. He's older. Conor McGregor was a great fighter, and he still is a great draw, right? People want to go see the notorious MMA and see him out there, but it was disappointing, and I think not completely unexpected. The other fight on the main card was, I mean, it was quick too, but Paddy the Batty with a submission early on, he put him to sleep.
I didn't see that.
I kind of forget who he was fighting, but yeah. I didn't see the clip. He put his opponent to sleep. I'm not a huge MMA guy, typically. Are you a guy who watches a lot of these fights, Parker?
No, I mean, I have some buddies that do, and sometimes they'll invite me out for fights, and I'll just,
right.
You know, just for the camaraderie purpose. But I watched all of the UFC 250.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch any of the last.
In college, that was kind of a thing that we would do. It was like, oh, there's a UFC fight on tonight. Let's go either go out to a bar and watch it, or maybe we all pool together money for the pay-per-view. Like, it was fun in college. It's never been one of my sports. But I woke up to that yesterday morning, and I was like, man, I'm glad I didn't even attempt to watch that fight because McGregor went out there. It was kind of a quiet sports weekend outside of the World Cup. Yesterday was tough. I mean, outside of baseball, last game heading into the All-Star break, I was sitting there on the couch at like 5 o'clock, you know, getting ready to make dinner. And I'm like, what is there absolutely nothing to watch on TV tonight? We have gotten to that point where there's not World Cup soccer on every second of every day, that we've got about, you know, a couple months here before football seasons where we're in a dead period.
Yeah, we have some soccer games Tuesday and Wednesday, but they're both at 2 o'clock because it's got to be prime time in Europe.
Right.
And I think for a majority of these countries, they're 7 hours ahead, so that would be a 9 p.m. kickoff. So a late caffeine special for the Europeans.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, it's been we get quarterback on Tuesday.
That
tomorrow,
is true.
Right?
Quarterback tomorrow. And, you know, you've got other stuff to watch, I guess. House of the Dragon continues to come out.
Yeah, I've been rewatching the Rocky movies.
Oh, you know what? Somebody was bringing up Rocky. Oh, I was listening to Joe and Robbie talk about Rocky last week, and I was like, you know what? I do need to do a rewatch of those movies.
Yeah, since this is kind of the dead period before football starts, I've been rewatching the Dark Knight trilogy. I rewatched the Batman.
Yeah.
I'm going through Rocky, and then I'm going to see the Odyssey. And then I already got my tickets for Spider-Man and IMAX.
Yeah, those are two good movies coming out over the next few weeks. You know what movies I rewatched this weekend? And
what
I'm
was that?
So glad I did. The National Treasure movies.
Oh, yeah.
Like, those are phenomenal movies. Not maybe not like Oscar worthy, but just so entertaining. And I can't believe it's been 20 years since one came out. And I looked it up because after watching the second, I was like, I need a third. And apparently Nicolas Cage has signed on to do a third National Treasure.
Wow. So still going,
we're
huh?
looking forward to it. I mean, just
he's also in that new Spider-Man series on Prime, Spider-Noir.
Yeah. I mean, the National Treasure movies, they're like the three Pirates of the Caribbean movies, the first three. I don't recognize the latest two. The first three Pirates of the Caribbean movies and the National Treasure movies, they just always hit. They are always great, no matter how many times you've watched them. I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence. So good.
Yeah, no, I like those movies. I like the Indiana Jones movies. Yeah. That's kind of where we're at right now.
Those are just great rewatchable movies. Yeah. Even though you know what's going to happen, it's always great.
Pirates of the Caribbean's up there too.
Yep. At World's End, that is one of my favorite movies from childhood, Pirates of the Caribbean. 615-737-1025. We'll probably get back to soccer later, but France, Spain, England, Argentina. What are you thinking, Parker, for these two semifinals?
So FIFA seems to love Messi, so I think Argentina's going to win and go to the final. I think it's going to be a rematch from 4 years ago.
France and Argentina. Yeah, I mean, France has been the best team so far. They have been the team that has been the least shaky of these four. With Argentina, I struggle because they haven't had an easy win yet, right? They've played Cape Verde. They've played Switzerland. And then who did they play in the
Egypt
before that? Egypt. And all of them were very difficult wins for Argentina. They had to score twice in extra time against Switzerland. They had to score three times in 13 minutes to beat Egypt. I don't know if that's harmful or, like, should I say they're shaky or they're, I guess they're proven in those tough moments. So I don't know. I'm going to go England, actually. I'm rooting against England, but I'm going to say England wins. I'm going to say England and France in the World Cup final, which will be entertaining to say the least.
But Argentina just keeps finding ways to win and squeak it out. So I'm just confident there. I think both of these semifinals are going to be fantastic because these are your blue bloods of soccer. So I'm actually really excited to watch.
Yep.
I didn't know how much I'd watch with the U.S. being eliminated, but I paid pretty close attention.
Yeah, I have I've watched more since last Monday than I thought I would. So we will see how that turns out. Afternoon kicks tomorrow and Wednesday in the World Cup semifinals. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Again, it is a reaction Monday. We've been reacting to all of the top 10 lists that Jeremy Fowler collects every single year from executives, coaches, scouts on who the best players are at their respective position groups. An interior offensive line came out yesterday. Peter Skoronski is on the list. We will talk about it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly.
Next man up, 102.5
The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly. Reaction Monday brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. And we are reacting to another top 10 list. It's what we do around here, Parker, at least during July.
And that's okay because another Titan was on there. Yeah,
right.
We
right.
thought there's a good chance that only Big Jeff was represented. But
and the more I think about it, we can talk about this later on too. There's a chance that we maybe see another Titan tomorrow. Off-ball linebackers comes out.
That's right. That
Cedric
is right.
Gray was top five in tackles. Like I wouldn't bet on him being on the list, but I don't think it's impossible. But let's get into the interior offensive lineman. We had talked about this with Peter Skoronski. Last year, he was an honorable mention. He was 15th. I had said I thought he was going to be between like 8 and 12, right? It's an imperfect science. He falls in at number 9 this year. Number 9. His highest ranking was 1, though, Parker. That I think that's the biggest thing I took from this list, is there is at least one person working in the NFL who believes Peter Skoronski is the best interior offensive lineman in the league. That surprised me a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know how much that's fine and all, but that's just not the case. He has taken some steps forward. I wonder if it was the same voter that had Jeffrey Simmons at 8.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. There is so much variability with these lists because, like, somebody had Peter Skoronski unranked, and you go to the very top with Tyler Smith, his highest ranking was 1, and he ends up being ranked 1. Somebody had him unranked. So there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of consensus around the league on these lists, especially on the interior of the offensive line. But Peter Skoronski is number 9 on this list. An NFC executive says he's absolutely jumped to elite status. He's going to get paid a lot more money than people think. And I agree with that. Like, whatever the number is you're thinking in your head right now of what Peter Skoronski's deal is going to come in at, I'd add probably 10 to 15%. The SpotTrack analysis has him at 19. I think it comes in closer to 25, like 23, 24, 25 for Peter Skoronski when he gets his extension.
And I'm kind of surprised the contract hasn't come yet, but we know it will at some point. But no, I agree. I actually did think that it was going to be higher than a lot of people expected, and it's nice to know that at least somebody in the NFL also believes the same thing. So it's good to see Peter Skoronski on here and how highly he's thought of around the league, and now you got to build around him.
Right. I was listening to the end of Robbie and Rex Road, and they're talking about, like, The interior of the offensive line has so many question marks that, like, no one's... I mean, we talk about J.C. Latham some, but, like, not a lot of people are asking big questions about J.C. Latham, because J.C. Latham is the second best offensive lineman you have, or at least the one you feel the second best about. So it's the offensive line right now is Peter Skoronski and a bunch of maybes. And so it is nice to know that left guard seems to be locked down, and I'm sure Mike Borgonzi in the front office are working on a long-term extension for him. But he really is the only bright spot on that offensive front right now, at least that you feel good about heading into this season. Now, there's opportunity for these guys to grow. J.C. Latham, Jackson Slater, some of the draft picks. Heck, even Dan Moore could take a big step forward this year. But Peter Skoronski really is the only one that you look at and you're like, all right, that guy is going to be good this year, and we don't have to worry about left guard. Every other position, I think there is at least a little bit, if not to a medium amount of worry heading into the 2026 season.
Yeah, and the thing about that is Peter Skoronski is the best player on that offensive line, and you don't have to worry about him. But at the same time, I'd be willing to go out and say that left guard is probably the fourth most important position on the offensive line. I'd go left tackle, right tackle, center, left guard, right guard.
I'd agree with that.
So it's great that you have a guy like that. But at the same time, it's just hard to dismiss the other parts.
Yeah, I mean,
and I hate to take away from Skoronski. That's not what I'm trying to do. But it's just hard when you don't know about the other four positions.
I agree with you. No one is going to complain about having a guy who you feel solid about on the offensive line. That's what you want. And Peter Skoronski deserves his flowers for the steps forward he's made over the last few years. But you're right. It's not like having an elite left tackle or even an elite right tackle. And you're right, center is probably a little bit more important than the guard positions. It's splitting hairs, but just because of the way the center can help the quarterback with setting protections and getting the offensive line in the right position. So I agree with you that you look at guard, it's a more valuable position now, especially with the way defenses have started to rush from the interior and tried to create that pressure up the middle, but still not quite as important as those guys on the edge. And I thought it was a good question that Robbie asked this morning, too. I was listening on my way in, and I was like, man, it's a great question they asked Corey. Do you think that Peter Skoronski, given what we know about him now, he is a high-level left guard, was he worth the 11th overall pick in the 2023 draft?
That is a good question. I'd say if you're getting an elite-level player, yes.
But, elite... He's not an all-pro yet. Like, he is a high-level player.
He's thought of to be elite.
Top 10 interior offensive line.
What about great?
He's a great player, yeah. And I think that's what you knew you were getting, at least you hoped you were getting when you took him there, was like, all right, this guy's a safe pick at number 11. And hindsight is 20/20, of course. I think a lot of us were first guessing that you should have taken Jackson Smith and Jigba in that spot. That's who I wanted when the Titans were on the clock.
Yes, there are other guys that I would have wanted, definitely.
Right. Like, I know a lot of people will say, oh, you're second guessing, and of course, looking back now, you want the offensive player of the year. In the moment, I remember sitting on the clock praying that the Titans would take Jackson Smith and Jigba. And so that... I first guessed it, and I know a lot of other people who first guessed it. So that's the question is, yes, was he a good player that you got at number 11? Sure. Was he the best choice you could have made given the options you had? No. And that's always going to be the dichotomy with Peter Skoronski. Good player, worth the 11th overall pick? I still think the jury's out on that. I think in order for the 11th overall pick to be worth it, he's got to be around and playing at a really high level for a lot longer than this. Like, he needs to be a five-time Pro Bowler, three-time All-Pro, 10-year vet on your offensive line for you to say, yeah, he was worth a top 11 pick in the NFL draft at left guard.
No, I'm with you. There are several players that I probably would have liked to have over Skoronski, but at the same time, if you're getting a guy who I think the disappointing thing for a lot of people was he was a left tackle in college and you moved him to guard.
Yeah, and taking a guard at that high,
I understand. But at the same time, if he's great with the potential to be elite, I'm fine with it, even if there are other players. It would have just been nice to have a JSN or even a left tackle at that point in time.
Right, and You can't completely say, well, he just wasn't the best player that was on the board looking back now. Yeah, like, if you look back now, should the Titans have taken Jahmyr Gibbs, who was picked one pick later? Sure, but that was never in the cards. So I would never say, oh, they should have taken Gibbs there. Even, like, Christian Gonzalez, you probably could have used a cornerback there, but I don't think that was somebody that was on the Titans' radar at number 11. So I'm not going to say that, but, like, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, there were a lot of people who were saying, man, he should be the pick for the Titans if he's there at 11. I know he fell to 20, but that's why I will always be like, man, yeah, he's a good pick, and he's ended up to be a really good player. But when you take a guard at number 11, he's got to be the elite of the elite. And he's getting there. He is clearly viewed as one of the best interior offensive linemen in the league, which is great. And no one will ever say Peter Skoronski was a bad pick. But was he the best pick you could have made?
And that's what I'm saying. Like, with the trajectory and how he's been improving.
Yeah, he's only 24.
I mean, I think he has the potential, and clearly there are other people in the NFL who believe the same thing. He's great right now.
Yeah.
But he can get to elite level.
Yep. I'm going to say right now, I would still probably say the jury is out on was he worth the 11th overall pick. He can get there 100%, but you know, taking a guard, the expectations, the bar is going to be super high for a player like that. 615-737-1025. We'll take your reaction on our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel at 1025 The Game for live shows and exclusive content. There was a former Titan on this list as well, one spot behind Peter Skoronski. We'll talk about him coming up next and get into much more on the Titans here in hour number one. We'll talk college football in hour number two as ACC Media Days are set to get going in Charlotte later this week. And we are excited to preview some of those teams. SEC Media Days a week away in Tampa. We're getting closer. Day by day. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. All of our football offseason coverage here on 1025 The Game is presented by Tennessee Brew Works, locally brewed, community driven, and Parman Tractor and Equipment, providing totally outrageous customer service. Visit ParmanTractor.com. We are going through the list of the top 10 interior offensive linemen as voted on by executives, scouts, coaches. Jeremy Fowler puts these together every year. Parker, what I think is the funniest thing about these lists is people going after Jeremy Fowler in like his Twitter comments. I'll scroll through sometimes and say, what a horrible list. You don't know ball. And it's like,
he's not the one ranking these guys.
He's just compiling
it. He's polling everybody.
Right. This is a poll.
He's polling people in the league.
This is like when the AP poll comes out, it's like, man, the Associated Press does not know ball. It's like, well, it's a conglomerate of a bunch of people.
Of voters
so,
who don't necessarily know what they're doing either.
Maybe the voters don't, but I mean, I guess maybe the coaches poll would be a better example of it. This is like the coaches poll on these players, but I just love people who don't understand. It's like, oh, Jeremy Fowler doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, he just sent out some texts and asked people to answer questions and got this back.
And then he put together the list.
Right.
And they come after him.
Number 10 on this list is old friend Aaron Brewer, now with the Miami Dolphins. He was a finalist for the Protector of the Year Award as well. Tougher than a $2 steak, Aaron Brewer, 6'1", 274 pounds, coming out of Texas State. He just signed a three-year, $52.5 million extension. Now, yes, the Titans need a center, and you might look and say, man, I can't believe they let Aaron Brewer go. But there was absolutely no one who wanted Aaron Brewer back at the end of his Titans tenure. We just talked about second guessing and first guessing. There was no one first guessing when the Titans let Aaron Brewer walk of like, hey, maybe this guy might need to stick around. He was not good during the end of his Titans tenure.
What was the biggest complaint we all had about Aaron Brewer?
He was too small.
He was too small, exactly. Yeah. But with what comes with being small is you're more twitchy. You're more explosive than some of the bigger guys. And who was running that offense last year in Miami?
Mike McDaniel.
Yeah. Right? It's very gap scheme specific, and that fits a player like Aaron Brewer. Now, with the changes they've had with Jeff Hafley coming in and the offensive coordinator he's brought in, I'm not sure if Aaron Brewer, he could have the same success, but it may not be. You know, he may not have that same success. So it's really dependent on the type of system that Aaron Brewer was in. He didn't fit here, but he fits in places like Miami where they run things that are beneficial to him.
Yeah, the quote here at the bottom of this Brewer excerpt says, he's good but accentuated by scheme, in my opinion.
Exactly.
A veteran NFL defensive coach said, athletic but not powerful.
If you're fast and you're explosive, you can work in a Mike McDaniel offense, even if you're not the biggest.
Right. So that's the one thing is, yeah, would it be nice to have a center who is viewed as widely as a good player as Aaron Brewer has been over the last year? Sure, but would it have worked here with the scheme that you were putting together? It doesn't seem like it. So,
and I have no idea if it'll work this year either, because I don't know what the offensive coordinator is going to run.
Right, yeah. So Aaron Brewer, 28 years old, top 10 interior offensive lineman in the league. I view it as, you might see people going, man, can't believe the Titans let him go. But there was nobody when he hit free agency being like, oh, we have to re-sign Aaron Brewer. Maybe somebody was out there saying it. I haven't seen that. It's like, oh, Aaron Brewer needs to be back next year. Extend that man. No. Everybody was looking to move past. Everybody viewed the Lloyd Cushenberry signing as a huge upgrade over Aaron Brewer. You know, you look back now and say that isn't the case, but in the moment, it looked like a very strong move to upgrade from Brewer to Cushenberry.
Yeah, no, it did, and we've just seen it kind of the center position for the Titans just take a nosedive, because now it looks like it's going to be Austin Slotman, who was not the starter in New York last year.
Right, man.
Also, do you know who the offensive coordinator is in Miami this year?
I'm sure I'll know it. Like, I'll remember as soon as you tell me.
Bobby Slowick.
It is Slowick. Yeah. Man, this just makes you miss Ben Jones so much, right? Like, Ben Jones.
Every day.
I think Titans fans learned to appreciate him while he was here. Like, I remember the last win of that 2023 season, him walking off the field, 2022 season, the 2022, against the Packers. And he was clearly banged up, and Mike Vrabel telling him, I've never seen anything like that. Like, I've never seen anybody play like that in my life. Ben Jones was such a linchpin for this team in the middle of that offensive line with what he did physically, with what he did mentally. And there are a lot of players that you lost over the last 5 years that have led to this team taking a nosedive, but Ben Jones has to be towards the top of that list of players who you miss dearly right now, especially with what you have at center at this point.
Because he provided stability and arguably the best center in Titans history. And now it's just been a carousel of guys where you had Aaron Brewer, he goes to Miami, he has success, you bring in Lloyd Cushenberry, you think what he was viewed as a top three center in the league, probably.
Yeah, I mean, the highest paid center in the league at that moment.
And that just wasn't the case. And now you rely on a guy who was a backup last year, but you trust that Brian Daboll can do something with. I'm not as optimistic, but hopefully I am proved wrong.
Yeah. Looking through the rest of these lists, like Tyler Linderbaum, I mean, I get it. $27 million is a lot, but he was listed as the eighth best interior offensive lineman in the league. I know Vols fans in particular will always look back at the Titans not drafting Trey Smith. That one will always hurt back in 2021.
And another Vol on there, Darnell Wright.
Yes, Darnell Wright was on the tackles list. Yes, we haven't talked about that one. That one came out Saturday. Top tackles: Penei Sewell, number one. Trent Williams still number two is crazy. Number three is Tristan Wirfs. Four, Jordan Mailata. Five, Laremy Tunsil. And six, Darnell Wright. Yeah, 24 years old for Darnell Wright. He was picked. Was he in the 2023?
He was picked right
draft?
Before Skoronski.
I was about to say he was the pick before Skoronski, right? By the Bears. So there you go. Lane Johnson still holding strong at number seven. There's Joe Alton there at number nine. Two picks before J.C. Latham. Man, imagine if the Titans had lost one more game each of those 2 years, and they could have taken Darnell Wright and Joe Alt instead of Peter Skoronski and J.C. Latham.
Imagine where we would be today.
I know. The offensive line obviously has been a focal point for the last few years with how bad it's been, but so much investment, and you've come just short of picking the players who were on this list. I mean, lower down on the honorable mentions, Christian Darrisaw, you took his college teammate, Caleb Farley, in that draft.
That's right, former Hokie.
Could have taken Christian Darrisaw instead.
Paris Johnson was in the same draft as Skoronski, but he was picked at six.
Yes, yeah. So that was the draft where the Titans were rumored to be trying to trade up for C.J. Stroud. Cardinals wanted to trade back so they could take a tackle. They ended up trading back a few spots with the Texans and got Paris Johnson. So anyway, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Looking at the interior offensive lineman top 10, Skoronski comes in at 9. We didn't mention the top ones. Tyler Smith for the Cowboys, 1. Quentin Nelson, still number 2. Creed Humphrey, 3. Quinn Miners for the Broncos. There just seems to always be some of these mauler guards in the draft who everybody looks at as like, yeah, that dude is just a road grader and he's going to figure it out in the NFL. Quinn Miners is one of those guys. Where did he get drafted out of?
Okay. Quinn Miners is one of my favorite players in the NFL.
Yeah.
Not just because he does the stomach thing or like, but he came out of Wisconsin Whitewater,
right?
A Division III powerhouse. And you know, as I say, Jake, us Division III guys got to stick together.
Right.
So seeing my guy on this list, happy for him.
No,
really happy for him.
It's so funny because he was one of those guys that got highlighted heading into the draft because, like, man, when has a Wisconsin Whitewater player ever been drafted? And if there's a guy being talked about like that and he's coming from a small school and he walks around with his belly out and he's got the long hair, he's going to be a good guard in the NFL. Like, don't overthink it. If he looks like that and he played at a D3 school, he's got the grit to be a guard in the NFL, ranked as the top, as the fourth best interior offensive lineman in the league. Quarterbacks came out today. We will talk about that one coming up later in the show, but we will wrap up hour number one coming up after this. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. This Sunday, 1025 The Game will have live coverage of the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix race at the Nashville Super Speedway. Coverage begins at 5 p.m. and is brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Big Shots in downtown Nashville. More Titans talk coming up on the other side. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. Lots to get into on this show today. We'll talk some college football coming up in the next hour as we continue our weekly series here in July of previewing whichever conference is starting their media days. This week, it's the ACC in Charlotte. Some fun storylines to get to in the All Coasts Conference. As I think they got to change that name. You cannot be the Atlantic Coast Conference with teams in California.
It's just crazy to me that the ACC championship game was decided last year by a team from California and a team from Texas.
Yes.
In the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Yes.
By the way, I think Stanford and Cal can see the Pacific Ocean from their football offices.
Yes, they can. I mean, you cannot have Cal and Stanford be called the Atlantic Coast
Unbelievable.
Conference. Change it. You can still be the ACC. We've seen a lot of these, the CAA used to be the Colonial Athletic Association. Now they're the Coastal, I want to say.
If we're complaining about conference realignment, Sac State in the MAC.
Right, with UMass.
Because nothing screams Sac State and UMass like and MACtion.
Mid-America.
Tuesday night at 7 p.m. That's what we're all thinking, right? UMass and Sac State.
Yeah, it's the... The conference realignment stuff is insane. Did you see the Washington news from yesterday that apparently they were operated with like a $16 million deficit this year? And a lot of it,
yeah.
I mean,
well, a lot of these schools are reporting.
Right. You got to travel cross country 15 times a year with all your sports. Like,
Louisville's operating in a budget deficit. Yeah. I mean, Rutgers is historically bad.
Right. Well, yeah, it's like Rutgers, what are you supposed to do?
Like,
it's like, we got to send our...
They're under $500 million.
We got to send our women's volleyball team to Los Angeles
this
weekend.
Yeah, we
got to
send our rowing team to freaking San Francisco.
Yeah, it's crazy. But we'll get into some college football coming up in the next segment. The ACC starts their media days on Wednesday in Charlotte. But keeping it with the Titans here... There's been a quote from Tajay Spears that's making the rounds, and Jim Wyatt wrote an article about it, but I've seen all the aggregator accounts have put out this quote, which was said like a month and a half ago. I remember when Tajay Spears said this, so I guess Jim Wyatt's article is the reason it's getting sent around the NFL world right now. Basically, Tajay Spears said, we got a new look, we've got a new stadium on the way, we've got a new coaching staff, let's have a winning record this year. And I just love that this is news. Like, what do you expect him to say? I know Tajay Spears has been disappointing. You drafted him in the third round. He's had his moments, but has struggled to stay healthy. But what do you expect him to say up there of like, we're hoping maybe we win five games this year. Like, anything would be better than the last 2 years. Like, no, he's going to be optimistic.
Players are not going to come out and be pessimistic. They're just not. As a competitor, you never, even if you're playing the Kansas City Chiefs or the Seahawks, you think you're going to win the game, even if you're not going to on paper.
Yes. Like, that's what they're expected to come out here and do. And I know Big Joe asked the question. Robbie and Joe were talking about this morning of like, is this team that you put out there tomorrow capable of winning the Super Bowl? I think that's a tougher question. I thought Mike Borgonzi actually handled that well last year of saying that's the goal for everybody, but we also know that there's a lot of work to do with this team. I thought that was a fine answer. Keeping things within reality while also not completely saying, no, our team sucks and we're not going to compete, which obviously ended up being the case. I don't know why this is a story. It's not like Tajay Spears came out and said, we're going to go win the Super Bowl this year. Tajay Spears just said, we're going to have a winning record. And this is somehow newsworthy that Around the NFL has to write a whole article on Tajay Spears saying the Titans are going to have a winning record. I know it's far-fetched and it's probably unlikely, but I don't think it was like all that crazy for a Titans player to have optimism that his team is not going to be horrible this year. I just think it's funny to see PFT and Around the NFL and all these accounts that love to just put all of the NFL news out there thought that this was newsworthy.
I don't get it. Because, I mean, even if you're on the worst team in the league, you still go out there and believe that you're going to win every game, or else why are you out there? Why are you getting paid millions of dollars? It's just part of being a competitor.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
I thought that was funny.
See, Jake, I didn't even know that was. I didn't even know somebody wrote an article.
Well, so that it surprised me when I saw it this morning as I was prepping, like doing some last minute prep for the show, seeing if I missed any stories overnight, and I saw that quote, and I was like, he said this during OTAs like 6 weeks ago. Why is this being brought up now? And then I saw the Jim Wyatt article, which I get it. Jim Wyatt, like, his job is to write about the Titans. So you're going to store some of this stuff to slowly push out articles throughout the dead period. It makes total sense that he would put that article out. But the fact that the larger NFL media conglomerate is acting like this is news, that the Titans running back said he thinks the Titans might have a winning record this year, I thought was hilarious.
Did he say might have a winning record?
Let me find the exact quote.
We are going to have a winning record. Which one?
Let me find the exact quote here.
Because if he said might, you know, it's not like he... That's not a big deal.
So he says, we have a new logo. We have a lot of new things around here. We are going to have a winning record this year.
Okay, we are going to.
We are going to.
Okay.
But, like, winning record is not, again, it would be a huge jump for the Titans. So not saying that this is likely, but it would be newsworthy, if a Titans player came out and said, we're a Super Bowl contender this year, Super Bowl or bust, because that would be just complete nonsense. But like, what do you want him to say? Yeah, we're hoping to be better, but we're probably still going to go 6-11 this year. Like, I just don't. It's July, so that's why this is news. This is why this is being put out there. But I just think it's so funny that it's worthy of writing an article on a Titans running back saying he hopes he thinks the Titans will have a winning record this year.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, what do people think he's going to say?
Now, if I'm keeping it a buck.
Yeah.
We ass.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's there true. When he said that.
I guess that's true.
I actually started laughing when Cam said that.
I mean,
I respect the honesty. I really do.
He shouldn't have said it, right? Like,
I respect the honesty.
I respect the honesty too. And you know, speaking of that quote, I'm excited to see the quarterback clip from that. I don't think we've talked about the quarterback series coming up.
Do you think that'll be featured?
I would think so.
Like the first episode?
Maybe not the first episode, because when did it happen? Week four, week five, somewhere in there? I guess week five they won, so it wouldn't have been that.
Yeah, might be two or three, depending on how many episodes there
was. Was it the Raiders game?
No, it was a home game. Okay, so it might have been after the Colts game in week three, because I think they were on the road in week four.
Let's see. I mean, this is easy to figure
because I was at the Colts game, and you
know, it was the Texans game.
Okay, so it was after the Colts game in week three, and the Titans started 0-3. Everybody in the press box knew the direction the season was going to go. It was like the season was over that point.
I was at that game, and I
mean, the air just came out of the Nissan Stadium.
At that game, and I feel like. The first week, the Broncos, you looked at it and you said, that's a good Broncos team, and the Titans were a few plays away from being right in it. If Brian Callahan challenges the one elbow equals 2 feet play, if Calvin Ridley doesn't drop a few passes, like, they were a few plays away. Then you play the Rams, and the Rams were expected to be one of the best teams in the league. So you're 0-2, and you're like, all right, it's the Colts coming in here. Maybe this team just has played two really good teams. And then Cam Ward throws a pick six on the first drive, and the Colts roll to 41-20. Like, all right, no, this is going to be bad. Then you lost 26-0 to the Texans the next week. That was the we ass comment from Cam Ward. But, yeah, maybe it is early in quarterback, because I'm sure there is an interaction or two after that of, hey, probably shouldn't have said that, whether that's with his coaches, with his teammates, with his family. That could be one of the bigger storylines early on in Cam Ward's quarterback arc when it comes out on Netflix tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know. Cam Ward is not the type of person to sugarcoat things.
No, he is not.
I thought it was hilarious when he said it.
I thought it was funny too, because it was 100% true. But you're just that's where we kind of get into the what do you expect Tajay Spears to say? I guess he could have said that.
I think the part of if he should have said that or not is a separate discussion. I just think it's kind of refreshing given the amount of, I mean, what was the word going around? Sunshine pumping that was going around, that we got a little bit of something new. Because, I mean, people weren't being honest about the state of the Titans.
Well, and I think you're also, when you look back at the last guy who was expected to be the franchise quarterback, Marcus Mariota,
yeah.
Like, complete opposite. You would have never caught Marcus Mariota dead criticizing anybody. Even if...
Well, he was quiet. He was more quiet. He wasn't outspoken.
Right. And that was a lot of the problem people had with Marcus is you questioned whether he was going to hold people accountable.
Yeah.
And there's a difference between holding people accountable behind closed doors and saying we asked at a press conference. And I think Cam Ward was... he realized that was probably not how he should have handled it. But
I'm sure that he had a conversation with PR afterwards.
Right.
I'm sure.
Right. But with Marcus, that was the problem, was like, all right, he's great at taking the blame. No matter if his wide receivers dropped every pass he threw them that day, he was going to come out and take all of the blame. And not that Cam Ward was trying to throw his teammates under the bus in that quote. He was including himself in that but I do think you're right. It was refreshing to see a quarterback who's not willing to just
act like everything is okay.
Yeah, stand up there and say, you know, we just got to play better. We'll do it next week.
Because that's not Cam Ward's
like,
style.
Oh, it was just a bad day, blah, blah, blah. No, he's going to come out and tell you what he thinks.
He's uber competitive, and when you get to a point where you start out 0-4 and nothing looks like it's going right, which it wasn't, that frustration starts to boil over. So I can understand the frustration. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Cam Ward arc on quarterback is going to be fun, especially the early part of that season with Brian Callahan, with Bo Hardigree, then Mike McCoy, the we ask comment. Like I think all of that is going to be very entertaining, and it comes out tomorrow on Netflix. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Coming up next, let's talk some college football. We are inching closer to college football season. Another week of media days. It was the Big 12 last week. We're continuing our weekly Monday series of previewing a different conference. This week, the ACC takes center stage in Charlotte. We will talk about some of the big headlines. Can Miami build off their run to the CFP title game? Who are going to be some dark horses this year? Does Dabo Swinney get fired? We know Corey Curtis's answer. We'll get to all of it.
Can't wait
coming
for Waffle
up
House.
In hour number two. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1-2-5 the game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.